Wrigley Building, Chicago.
And now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you chewing enjoyment, presents for your listening enjoyment, Gangbusters! For chewing enjoyment plus long-lasting refreshment, treat yourself to Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. The lively, full-bodied flavor cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The pleasant chewing helps keep your throat moist and adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. So always keep a package of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy. Enjoy it often, every day, as millions do. Gangbusters, the only national program that brings you authentic police case histories, has asked Mr. John J. Mahan, Assistant Prosecuting Attorney, Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, Ohio, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Mr. Mahan.
Thank you and good evening, Gangbusters listeners. In some modern fiction, we meet criminals whose stories are breathtaking, even romantic. The story of George Ross, however, is fact, not fiction. And it's the cold, ruthless story of a killer. Strangely enough, we begin tonight's case with a comparatively minor infraction of the law when in the city of Cleveland, Ohio, on December 8, 1951... he didn't see a traffic light, nor the officer handling the Christmas crowd.
Wait for the lights, folks. Don't step off the curb before the light changes, please. All right, come ahead. Cross with the light, folks, with the light. Hey, watch it. Look out. All right there, young fella, just pull over to the curb.
You know you went through that light, young fella? I was signaling, too.
I'm sorry, officer.
Out of state, huh? You see you got a California license?
Yes, I have.
Well, let's see your registration and driver's license.
Certainly, officer. I'm awfully sorry about that light. I guess I was just... Oh, darn it, I forgot.
Forgot?
My papers. I left them at my hotel.
Oh?
Yeah, you see, I had changed my clothes.
What hotel?
Well, it's not exactly a hotel, officer. I'm saying it. That is, I've got a room out on Euclid.
What number on Euclid?
Number?
Street number. You know where you're staying, don't you?
Sure I do. I just... a little mixed up, I guess. Christmas rush and all.
I'll tell you what, young man. We'll just drive out to this rooming house and look at your registration and license, okay?
You mean you want to go way out there?
Won't hurt. Hey, Red! Take over, will you? I'll phone in later.
Now, officer?
Mm-hmm. You drive, son. Now. Your room upstairs?
That's right, officer. That music's one of the rumors. That's the only piece she knows.
Well, let's go up and get the papers, son.
Officer, look, about those papers,
You got them, haven't you? Registration and driver's license?
Sure I have.
Then get them. Now.
All right. Okay. Sure.
Okay, copper, you asked for it.
You bum. You asked for it good.
The man who shot and fled was George Ross, Gangbusters listeners. Born in California in 1924, by the time he was 25, he had served in some of the major prisons on the Pacific Coast. Armed robbery, burglary, auto theft. And now in Cleveland, Ross had made his mark in the blackest book in police records. He had killed Officer Forney Haas of the Cleveland Police Department.
Clear those people away from the front of the house, will you, Lewis? And shut that front door.
Right, Dan. All right, folks. Come on now, the show's over. Move along now, will you? Will you move along? Jack, sit and move it, will you?
The captain get back in?
He had to go out and make the notification.
That's the worst part of his job.
Yeah. What
kind of a world is this, Dan? A cop, good cop, directing traffic on a corner, and he ends up with three slugs in him.
What kind of a job is it?
Cops? Sometimes I think it's rotten.
Want to quit, Lewis?
You know what I want, Dan.
I know.
I want to get the stinking rat that killed Haas.
So do I. Now, let's see where we start, shall we? It looks like Haas's gun is missing. The killer might have grabbed it. There's signs of a struggle.
What about the car with the California plates? Landlady says it's his.
It's listed. Stolen in San Francisco. Belongs to a woman named Henley's.
Any identification?
Yeah, fairly complete. The desk gave it to me when I phoned in. I think our boy's named Ross. George Ross.
They think?
And they're pretty sure. He and another guy pulled a whole string of jobs out west. They got his partner, but Ross got away.
Now, where do we stand, Dan? We know he's got a gun. We know he took off from here on foot.
Yeah, that's about all we know so far. Except his name is probably George Ross.
Yeah, and one thing more.
What?
He's a cop killer.
How far are you going?
As far as you are. Okay to get in?
I thought you were a hitchhiker.
I am.
Yeah, but a dame, I can't take you, sorry.
Well, you got rules against dames?
No, I just...
Look, mister, give me a break, will you? It's cold standing out here. Please?
Shut the door.
Thanks, mister. I mean it.
You live around here?
Not anymore, I don't. I'm heading to New York.
Yeah?
Surprised you, huh? When you saw I was a girl?
I guess so.
Not sore or anything.
It's okay. Where are we, do you know?
Don't you? This is West Virginia.
Oh.
The town back away is Fairmont. You must have passed through it.
Yeah, I guess I did.
You're from Cleveland, huh?
What?
It's on your car, the Ohio license and the name of the car dealer.
Pretty smart girl.
I got to be. By the way, the name's Laura.
Mine's George.
Where are you going, George?
New York, maybe. I haven't decided. That surprise you?
Nothing surprises me, George. What are you stopping here for?
I won't be long.
Just a store. Doesn't even look like they've got a gas pump.
Wait here a second, okay?
You afraid I'll steal your car?
What was that?
Nothing, just kidding.
I'm not afraid, Laura. Not a bit.
Has me in its spell. That old black magic that I know so well. And I see things. What happened?
Shut up. Out the rear window. Go on, look.
Clear.
Okay. I thought it would be.
Phew.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Isn't that a little sudden?
Nobody hurt.
What was it for? Where are you?
Smart. And as for what for? For you.
Me?
Guy needs dough for a nice girl like you. Doesn't he?
More coffee, Lewis?
Oh, I'm okay, Dan. I guess I don't feel like much.
Yeah, me too. I've been to a lot of funerals. Every time it's a cop, I don't know, I get a funny feeling.
I keep thinking how it might be me.
Yeah. Hey, Rosie's waving at the counter. The phone must be for us.
Oh, I'll get it. Finish your coffee, Dan.
If it's the captain, tell him we're on the way in.
Right. Thanks, Rosie.
All right.
Lieutenant Bureau speaking. Yes, Captain. No, sir, not since noon. What's that? Where? Yes, sir, we'll be right in.
Dan, let's go.
Something break?
Come on, I'll tell you in the car. Here, Rosie, tell Edna to keep the change. That was a captain, all right.
So I figured. I'll hop in. I'll drive.
He's been on the phone with a town in West Virginia.
About Ross?
Plenty. Better switch on the siren, Dan. Captain says don't stall around.
West Virginia?
He tried to stick up a country store just outside a town called Fairmont. I think that's the name.
Never heard of it. Anybody hurt?
Nobody, but it was Ross, all right. He dropped the cop's gun.
Hosses?
Yeah, hosses. Then he got away.
Friends, next time you chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, notice how cool and fresh it makes your mouth feel. That's because Wrigley's Spearmint Gum has lots of lively, refreshing flavor in every stick. The minute you sink your teeth in, that cooling flavor begins to freshen your taste and relieve that hot, dry feeling in your throat. It sweetens the breath, too. Millions of people carry Wrigley's Spearmint Gum with them wherever they go for quick, long-lasting refreshment and for real chewing enjoyment. Next time you're at the store, get some Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Enjoy its refreshing flavor and good, pleasant chewing often every day. Remember, that's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. Now, back to Gangbusters. And Mr. John J. Mahan, Assistant Prosecuting Attorney, Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, Ohio.
All over the country, Gangbusters listeners, police and other law enforcement officers keep lists of wanted men. When a man's a killer who shoots without reason or warning, his name heads the list. So as George Ross made his way east from Cleveland, crossing over the Shenandoah Mountains into Maryland, he was one of the country's most wanted men.
Are we ever going to stop? Riding all night?
What's the matter? Don't you like my company?
Told you, I'm tired.
We must be getting close to Baltimore. There's a clearing up ahead. Look okay?
Like nothing.
That's the general idea. Those lights in the sky must be Baltimore. Go on, open the door. Let's get some air.
It's cold.
Feels good. Will I see you again, Laura?
You what? What do you mean?
I can't go into the city, kid. I can't take a chance.
Something did happen back at that store.
Nobody said that.
You know something? I don't get you at all.
Oh? Why not?
I can't tell if you're in real trouble or not.
Now, look, there's no trouble. The car is hot, that's all.
Stolen?
Sure. Don't look so surprised. I bet you've been in lots of them.
Crazy, you know? All I get into Baltimore.
Hitch. There's traffic on the road back there.
What about you?
Why?
Why? Because I care, that's why. Will you be okay?
Don't you think I will?
Yeah. I guess you will, Seth.
Got any dough?
$7.
Okay. Here's 10 more. When you get to Baltimore, get a room at the Winthrop Hotel. You got that?
What for?
You just listen to me. Get a room. Get some sleep. You look like you need it.
I do.
Okay, then stay there till I phone for you. Got that?
What about after? You phone and then what?
I'll make plans, kid. Big plans. I'll work on them all day.
This is nuts. You know that? That's nuts.
Sure. I'll call you tonight.
That night, Gangbusters listeners, in a small town 20 miles west of Baltimore, Patrolman Ed Stockwell was making a routine check of stores on the main street of the village. In front of a closed gas station on the corner, he noticed a car with an Ohio license parked at the curb. Patrolman Stockwell walked over to the car and directed the beam of his flashlight inside.
Hey there, you! Open up!
Huh? What's wrong?
In trouble, sir?
No, sir.
It's pretty cold to be sleeping out in the car.
Well, I had a long drive, officer. I was just taking a little nap.
From Ohio, are you?
Yes, sir. Sorry if it was wrong to park here this time of night. I thought it'd be okay.
No harm done, I guess. Let's see your registration.
What?
Just going by the book, son. Registration and driver's license.
Okay. Okay. Sure.
Stop!
All right, boys. If we can have a little quiet. All right, thanks. You're Officer Stockwell?
That's right.
Well, I can make the introductions, I guess. I'm Bill Perry, FBI out of Baltimore.
I'm glad to know you.
Now, these two men are from the Cleveland Police Department. Lieutenant Dan Jordan, Louis Barrow.
Jordan.
The rest you know, I think. Now, it was Officer Stockwell who found Ross in town here, man.
Ross opened fire on you, officer. Is that it?
He sure did. If I hadn't ducked behind his car, I'd be a goner.
We know. One of our men in Cleveland didn't get a chance to duck.
Well, just to fill these men in, officer, you returned Ross's fire, and he jumped from the car on the opposite side. Is that right?
That's it. I kept firing until I could see he'd run into the woods. I think I may have hit him.
Funny cold in those woods, too.
Well, you want to hear what's been done?
Sure do.
Well, since last night, there's been 80 state troopers surrounding the woods. We've got a command post set up over in the schoolhouse.
We've got planes, too. Two helicopters cruising over the area from above.
Now, we've got the equipment. Radio, phone setups, walkie-talkies. In an hour or so, we'll have a detail of 100 FBI agents out of Baltimore.
What about the woods? Any houses in there?
Well, you can tell them that better than I can, Sarko.
A couple of cabins, most of them empty in the winter.
How big is the area?
About 12 square miles. It's covered on all sides.
Well, sound good?
Yeah, sounds foolproof. Except for one thing.
What?
Ross. He's gotten out of a dozen traps before.
Hello?
Laura, this is George.
I know.
Listen, kid, you gotta help me. I was in the woods all night. I got cold, Laura. Awful cold.
Where are you now?
In a house. It's empty. I found a dirt road out of the woods. I had to get to a phone, Laura. Listen, I'm cold.
I can't help you, George. I bought a bus ticket back home.
Laura, you got to. They even got helicopters out looking for me. You promised, Laura, I need help.
I read the papers, George.
What?
You're a killer. I can't help you at all.
Laura! Laura, no!
I can't believe it. Every angle sewed up. It's 10 above 0, and he walks out of those woods. Well, I just can't believe it.
I can. We've ducked with him before. What about that cabin he broke into?
One break. It looks like he took a slug when Stockwell was firing. There was blood on the floor near the phone.
Excuse me, the officer at the door says you gentlemen are in charge here.
Yeah, that's right.
My name's Al Noyes. I run a sawmill over on the other side of the woods near the Willow Road.
I know the place.
What's in your mind, Mr. Noyes?
I heard on the radio about this killer that's loose in the woods, a fella named Ross.
That's right. Why?
Well, they've been broadcasting his description. I guess I heard it 3 or 4 times.
What about it, Mr. Noyes?
You saw him.
You what?
You saw Ross? When?
10, 15 minutes ago, I drove right over here when I saw who it was.
Where?
On the highway out where the dirt road comes out. He was trying to hitch a ride.
Dan, grab the phones.
Right. Harry, get
all right, boys, let's go. Be sure all that equipment's in the car. We meet again on this trip. How far now, Mr. Noyes?
Just up beyond that bend.
Check with Dan in the other car, will you, Lewis? They'll be heading in from the other side.
Check. Car A calling car B. Car B.
Let us stop here until we get organized.
Car B, we're 50 yards from the spot indicated. What's your position, Lewis?
Same position on the other side of the bend. Are they stopping cars back at the junction?
Nobody got through. He's got to be here, Lewis, or else back in the woods.
Tell him we're moving in.
Right. We're moving in, Dan. Starting now. See anything?
No, not yet.
There he is.
Hmm?
See, right there by the side, just where he was before.
All right. Now, you stay in the car, Mr. Noyes, and keep your head down.
Yes, sir. I don't want to get shot.
Close enough, Lewis?
Yeah, I think so. There's Dan and Stockwell closing in from the other end.
Okay, then. Here we go. Easy now. He doesn't see us.
Dan's moving in too, see? They've left their car.
Easy. He's looking up.
Put your hands in the air!
Reach, Ross!
You make a move and we'll kill you. You hear that?
Don't shoot. You don't have to shoot.
Watch him now.
Ross?
Yeah. I'm Ross. I guess it's all over.
It is.
I'm sorry. I couldn't give you a fight. It's cold, you know. Awful cold.
You know something else, Ross? It'll get cold.
George Ross was rushed to the federal building in Baltimore, gangbusters listeners, and later, under heavy guard, he was returned to Cleveland for trial. There, on February 20th, 1952, in the Court of Common Pleas, Cuyahoga County, Judge Edward Blythen presiding, a jury found him guilty of murder in the first degree. On the night of January 16th, 1953, at Ohio State Penitentiary, George Ross met death in the electric chair.
Thank you, Mr. John J. Mahan, Assistant Prosecuting Attorney, Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, Ohio. In just a moment, Gangbusters Nationwide Clues. Friends, Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum is a refreshing, delicious treat you can enjoy even while you're working, driving your car, or busy doing other things. Just slip a stick into your mouth and chew it as long as you like. The pleasant chewing will make the time pass more pleasantly for you, and you'll enjoy that cooling, refreshing flavor. It'll help you to keep your mouth and throat moist, a real help on warm summer days. Keep a package or two of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy all the time. Chew and enjoy it often, as millions do. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. And now, Gangbusters Nationwide Clues, broadcast every week to assist American police in their war against the underworld. Attention all citizens. Be on the lookout for Max Heimovitz, wanted by the FBI for unlawful flight to avoid prosecution for the crime of murder. Listen carefully to his official description.
Max Heimovitz, age 38, 5 feet 6 inches, 170 pounds, stocky build, dark brown hair, blue eyes, dark complexion, may seek work as a jewelry salesman or a diamond setter.
This man has a dagger tattooed on front of left thigh and a 2-inch scar over left eyebrow.
Caution, he may be armed and should be considered dangerous. Extreme caution should be exercised in effecting his apprehension. If you have any information concerning this clue, notify your local police, the nearest office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or Gangbusters at once. Tonight's Gangbusters case was dramatized by Robert J. Shaw and directed by Leonard L. Bass, with Sam Siegel, Bernard Lenroe, and Mandel Kramer in leading roles. The entire production was supervised for CBS Radio by John Ives. Gaylord Avery speaking. Gangbusters, a production of CBS Radio in cooperation with Phillips H. Lord, is brought to you each week, same time, same station, by Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat you can enjoy even while you're busy. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Boston Blackie, tonight at 9 over WBBM. Listen and enjoy 30 minutes of adventure at its very best every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And Bold Venture, heard every Tuesday and Thursday at 9. It's drama and thrills, and it's waiting for you at the 780 spot on your radio dial. Remember, that's tonight at 9 for Boston Blackie. Don't miss it. This is the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.